Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Why should everyone want to know the facts about lead in drinking water? Because unhealthy amounts of lead can enter the drinking water through the plumbing in your home. You should have your water tested.
That's an excerpt of an educational video posted by the Massachusetts Water Resources Authority just last month. And it's a timely reminder because, according to an Associated Press analysis of EPA data, 33 water systems in Massachusetts have tested with lead levels over the federal standard at least once during the past 3 years. That means more than 260,000 residents in Malden, Chelsea, New Bedford, and other communities have been exposed to dangerous levels of lead. So for more on this, we're joined now by Dr. Martha Richmond. She's the Director of Environmental Science at Suffolk University. Dr. Richmond, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So first of all, I mean, you've been an expert on lead and environmental contaminants for quite some time. What was your reaction to hearing this data, this analysis from the AP that we have 33 water systems in Massachusetts that have tested above in the past couple of years?
It's extremely distressing. Looking at just sort of national data, it's not as surprising as I would have expected it to be. Boston is a very old city. A lot of the service lines that go from the supply into private residences or into public facilities contain leaded piping, and this should have been replaced a long time ago. Tragically, it hasn't.
Mm. So that leads me to the next question, just because, of course, the nation as a whole has been paying a lot more attention to this because of the tragedy of what happened in Flint, Michigan. There, the problem in part was due to a switch in the water supply for some time. But as you mentioned here, it's not the water supply per se that's the problem in some of these communities, but the infrastructure?
Yes. Boston, or for that matter, most communities that get the water from the MWRA, get water that is very good, very pure, and wonderful to drink, quite honestly. The problem for communities like that is that if they have old service lines mm-hmm. that go from the feeder line into the residence or into the public facility, whatever it happens to be, that water is often contaminated because of the lead in the pipes. And that can either be because of lead solder in the pipe, or in many, many cases, it's actually just simply because the pipes are made of lead themselves.
And it's being leached into the water.
Right.
So
right.
does that mean that it's possible that there can be, I mean, these were, you can only know as much as you test, right? So if you
right.
test once, and at least at that moment in time, there may have been higher lead levels, but does it mean that in some of these communities, if it is indeed coming from the pipes, that the levels may also be consistently high?
I would assume so. That's a very difficult question to answer.
Okay.
And I would return, actually, the Flint case is very interesting because people were told, for example, if they wanted to be sure their water was not leaded, they should just simply open all of the taps and flush the lines for some protracted period of time, that would manage to get a lot of the lead out of the water. When I've done or worked with people to do lead testing, I always tell them to take the first roughly 10 milliliters of cold tap water first thing in the morning, because what they're looking at then is the water that has been sitting for
right.
some time before it's been run.
Mm-hmm.
That said, we pay for our water. So returning to Flint, when people are told that they were supposed to flush their lines out for some protracted period of time, albeit that they're now being asked to pay less for that water, they're still running a lot of water, and
right.
that's costly.
Right. And in Flint, they were still forced to pay for it as well, an ongoing issue there. But let's talk for a second about what some of the data say in a little bit more detail, because I'm seeing here that the highest rate of lead poisoning in the state, according to state officials, is in Warren in central Massachusetts, where they found excessive lead levels in more than 7% of the children tested there. So what actually happens lead levels that are that high in children?
It depends specifically on the height of the lead
okay.
level, to be perfectly
right.
honest. But there is, number one, no safe level of lead exposure to young children, particularly children under 72 months of age. This is a time when their brains are not fully protected so that lead can get into developing neurons. That has a host of different kinds of effects. the greater the exposure to lead, the more likely it is that a child is going to have an adverse symptom. But you can almost draw a straight inverse line, you know, higher lead, lower certain kinds of things. Mm. This includes IQ. Other kinds of symptoms, children develop attentional deficit disorders, either hyperactivity or just very quiet things. They can develop certain kinds of antisocial behavior and so on. And again, frankly, the level of exposure is going to determine some of that. Yeah. The higher the level, the greater the probability.
Yeah. Well, you know, Robert Knorr, who's the director of environmental epidemiology at the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, has said that, quote, being poor and being a minority not only increases the risk of blood lead poisoning, but makes it difficult to find a safe home. So it seems as if more and more officials are drawing the correlation between being low income and perhaps, you know, suffering from elevated levels of lead. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Part of the issue is there are multiple factors. There's lead in the home, lead dust, and this can be from paint dust. It can be from moving windows up and down. That's one of the common sources of it. But lead dust gets into the environment. It can get onto the floor. It can get out into windowsills. Young children have a great deal of hand-to-mouth activity. Lead also gets in the soil. Now, when you live in an underserved community, you are more likely to be in a community where there are multiple sources of lead. Heavy traffic that deposited lead in the soil from years past. Some auto body plants deposit, still use leaded paint. And I could go down a list of things like that. But the other part of this is that people who were poor are often those people who rent, and albeit that there is a lead-safe law, if they're desperate to get roofs over their head, it's hard to believe that people sometimes just don't say, the roof over my head is more important than whether this house is lead-safe.
Right. What's the more immediate need?
Right. And I would add to that often they're simply not informed. It's a silent toxin. You know, a child who develops certain behavioral symptoms, you can't say this is like a child has a cold. It's not that kind of one-on-one correspondence. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's just very difficult to see right away.
Yeah. You know, Massachusetts has had lead laws on the books for decades, right? But I'm wondering if it's time for an update on those laws, because I'm wondering, you know, if a lot of the problem has to do with lead pipes, lead service lines, I feel like the only fix, real long-term fix, is to dig them up and replace them. I mean, the MWRA is launching a $100 million interest-free loan program to help cities and towns do that for aging service lines. But is that adequate?
this is a difficult question to answer. The house that I live in originally had a leaded service line into the house. So in order to adjust this, there was a $1,000 investment in replacing those lines. Now, that can be an interest-free loan. But if you're very poor, that becomes very difficult. If the laws are made more liberal, more people will probably qualify for this kind of financial assistance. But knowing how to get it, knowing how to go through the ropes, and in some cases, less for that type of thing, but if you're doing lead removal from a house and you go to a bank, in some cases that means that someone has to be creditworthy, and mm-hmm. if that person is quite poor, this may be a very challenging thing. That said, I'm delighted that the laws are becoming more and more demanding, the fines for landlords who don't de-lead when they've been found to have leaded housing, they're going up. The next question is, how are those going to be enforced, and how effectively are they going to be enforced?
Yeah. Well, with that in mind, we'll definitely keep on this story because there are always unanswered questions. Dr. Martha Richmond is Director of Environmental Science at Suffolk University. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Well, the Major League Baseball season is just beginning. The games will go on for the next 6 months. But right now, sports commentator Bill Littlefield feels like the games will go on forever.
And I'm glad that it is, and here is my answer should there be a quiz about why its return is more perfectly good than the sound of the ball as it's meeting the wood of the bat in the hands of the guy at the plate, because baseball is back, and no question, that's great. The world as we age spins more quickly, it seems, and the flying time eats at the scope of our dreams, the flights we've imagined to various stars. Dreams get whittled to fit beside us in our cars. As the daily stuff piles up like leaves in a yard, where the trees won't give up and the raking is hard, I'm not sure you'll think that this makes any sense, but I'm picturing leaves all piled up at a fence, all those garbage bags filled and the job still undone. It's a far cry from all we might label as fun. But that's fall, and it's spring, and spring's baseball, no doubt, where the ball's fair or foul, and you're safe or you're out, because baseball's the same as it's been for a while, which delights me no little, provokes me to smile at the wondrous illusion completely deranged that despite time's grim ravages, nothing has changed. Oh, I know it's nuts to see baseball that way. It is altered, this game that they're playing today, for the rules have changed slightly. The money's insane, but except for the coldest of days and the rain, the game is a constant, dependable sound in the long string of nights of whatever we've found to fill lives that need filling, as lives always do, which is certain today and has always been true, and the background of baseball's monotonous hum can lead us to figure that we're not so dumb if we tend to pretend in an innocent way that the time that is constantly racing away simply isn't. For baseball's not timed, and an inning can end in just minutes or just be beginning when six or eight fellows have come up to bat. It has always been thus, so let's recognize that, though the game may seem slow to the folks who complain, it's a gift for the rest of us. Here's the refrain. As the days all accelerate, shouldn't we treasure each break that we get from compulsion to measure?
Bill Littlefield hosts NPR's Only a Game on WBUR every Saturday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. And by the way, he's also on Radio Boston on Wednesdays. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.